He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is the October 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, it should come as no surprise if you've been listening to my show for the last several weeks, in fact, the last several months. I said it's going to be a wild ride into that election. It's going to be a real wild ride. And, of course, the ride has gotten wilder with the COVID coming back, especially in Europe right now. And as a result, we've got kind of a bloodbath today in the market. I'm glad I've got a big chunk of cash on the sidelines, and I'm glad I have hedges in place. The Dow right now down 612 points. We're now under 27,000. We're at 26,851. The Dow is down 2.2% today. The S&P 500, about the same, down 2.3%. The S&P is down 76 points to 3,314. And the NASDAQ is even a little bit worse than the Dow and the S&P. The NASDAQ is down 291 points right now to 2.55. My inverse NASDAQ hedges are doing quite well today. The Russell 2000 is down 2%. That's the small cap index. We've got crude oil getting whacked again. It got whacked yesterday. Will America have to shut down again due to COVID? Crude oil down $2.25 to $37.32. Gold having a terrible day. The gold stocks look awful. The precious metal stocks, gold down $35 per ounce at 1876. And the 10-year yield, no movement in the bond market, 0.75. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, watching a lot of developments. You know, as Tuesday, November 3rd approaches, I've been warning that it was going to get real dicey here. And I think it gets dicier before it gets better. And, of course, a lot of how dicey it gets will depend upon, you know, what happens next Tuesday. There's a lot of different scenarios that don't paint a pretty picture as far as uncertainty is concerned. And, you know, I've been warning this is not a time to have your pedal on the metal. The NASDAQ topped about 6-8 weeks ago when it went above 12,000. I started lightening up at that point in time. I felt like the easy money had been made. I've had hedges in place, especially on the NASDAQ, and I have a very large hedge in place against the S&P 500. Now, I'm still down today, but it's like a shock absorber. The ride's a lot smoother than most people that are got full exposure to the market. And I have a big chunk of cash sitting on the sidelines right now. All right, well, what's doing it? What's going on today? Well, let's go back to yesterday. Before we start a new day, we had a fairly good day yesterday. Well, how was that, you would say, Bill? The Dow was down 220 points yesterday. You call that a good day? Well, the NASDAQ, the big tech stocks had a very good day yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 72 points yesterday. So we ended up having a decent, pretty decent day in the market yesterday. Now we're giving that back up today, but we're not down nearly what the market is down today. Okay, so now let's move into what's going on today. Strict lockdowns weigh on European markets. Paris, France, they're basically going into lockdown again. You can't come out of your house. That's got London, or Paris is down 2.8%, the Paris market right now. Germany is moving in that direction also. Frankfurt down 2.7%. You would think it would eventually expand to London, which is down 1.6%. Look how a little small virus has disrupted the entire globe. China is up, actually, right now, 0.5%. But Europe really taking it on the chin as the virus lockdowns continue. And, of course, you know, I mean, you've got to extrapolate that out to us. They're a little ahead of us in the weather of getting cold, unless you're in Michigan. It's getting cold in Michigan. Not too cold here in South Carolina right now. Beautiful blue water. There's a guy going by. Looks like he's going fishing. Yeah, I wish you a good day. I wish I was there with you. Anyways, they're ahead of us in the weather, and we're heading into that fall, November thing. It's going to start getting cold here in the U.S., and one would think that cases of COVID would increase. Crude oil just got slammed yesterday, and it's getting slammed again today on oversupply fears. We had a surge in U.S. crude inventories. And, of course, you have the growing coronavirus infections in the U.S. and Europe starting to spark worries of an oil glut and weaker fuel demand. Now, I've been warning for a couple of years now, maybe several years, to avoid the energy stocks. They continue to be the worst place you could possibly be invested right now, other than the airlines, the cruise ships, the hotels, the restaurants, etc. But the oil stocks, terrible place to be invested. In fact, one of the leading ETFs in my Best Stocks Now app right now is an inverse. Yes, you can buy an inverse ETF on the energy sector. Well, I would say the biggest story today, obviously, would be the rebound of COVID in Europe and strict lockdowns coming to France and probably going to spread elsewhere. I would say the second biggest story right now in the market is an election that's now just 6 days away with all kinds of different scenarios that could play out. Most of them bring a lot of uncertainty. The third biggest story is in the background, getting lost in all of this, is earnings season. Well, thank goodness earnings season continues to go quite well. You know, as of last Friday, 85% of the companies in the S&P, or 85% of the companies that have reported earnings have beat their earnings estimates. That's running at a record clip. However, having said that, these earnings right now are getting buried in macro news, such as COVID and the U.S. elections. Having said that, Microsoft, probably the biggest earnings story so far, that they reported yesterday after the close. Microsoft had a very good quarter. They beat earnings by 28 cents, continuing a trend. 28% of the companies, or 85% of the companies reporting, are beating earnings. Microsoft, however, is down 3.7% today. Well, I talk a lot about technical analysis. I go through a lot of charts on a daily basis. I obviously look at all the charts of all the stocks that I own. I look at the charts of all the A-plus or better momentum stocks in my list, trying to find things moving early on. And I go through all of the B-plus or better ranked stocks. These companies have a rare combination of good fundamentals and good momentum going on. I like those two together. And as I go through the charts, I have just a little tutorial in my newsletter every week. I'm just going to keep it there about the different charts. You're either in a one uptrend, a two side, or a one sideways trend, a two uptrend, a three topping out trend, or a four downtrend. I would say that the vast majority of charts of the leading stocks in the market And the leading indexes in the market right now is a number three trend. Well, if you think about it, the market took off back in late March, and it didn't look back for about 6 months. That was a number two uptrend, and guess what happened? You know, when the NASDAQ hit 12,000, I would say late August, around in there, and then a lot of these leading stocks, a lot of these leading indexes, their uptrends halted, and they started going sideways. Many stocks in the market right now have stalled out into a number three trend, and what we have to be careful of is if they start to roll over into a downtrend. That's the macro technical picture of the markets right now. A lot to talk about when we come back today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. It's not getting any better. The Dow down 718 right now. The NASDAQ down almost 300 points. Maybe it's at 300 right now. Inverse hedge is doing very, very well. In fact, listen to this little stat. I have a little group of inverse ETFs, and I can scroll through them anytime I want, look at them. I'm just going by volume today. Which ones are trading the most volume? Three times inverse the NASDAQ, which I don't recommend. I usually just use the one-to-one inverse as a hedge, okay? Occasionally, I'll go to a two-to-one. The three-to-one NASDAQ has traded 27 million shares so far today. That's SQQQ, short the NASDAQ, three times. Ouch. $1.6 billion is in that ETF. It's up 8.9% today. The second most heavily traded ETF today on the inverse side, actually it's the volatility ETF, which I own, VXX. Okay, that's investing in the VIX. The volatility index, it's breaking out today. It's up 10%. We are long the VIX, VXX. The third most heavily traded inverse ETF is three times short the S&P 500. I don't recommend the three times shorts. It is up 7.7% today. It's traded 13 million shares. Then you get down, the next one is the inverse three times Russell 2000 small cap index. It's up 8%. Now we get into one that I do own in my ultra growth active portfolio. I have the NASDAQ two times short. Very rarely do I use it two times, but I felt very strongly about this and bought it a few weeks ago as a good hedge. It's up 5.8% today. It's double short the NASDAQ. And then my biggest hedge of all is 7. Number 7 on the list of volume today. I just have a straight-up hedge against the S&P 500. It's a $2.9 billion ETF. It's trading 5.4 million shares today. SH, okay? You can buy SPY. Why would you right now? But you can buy SPY, which probably, how much money's in SPY? That's just the S&P 500, one of the most popular ETFs out there. It has $287 billion in it. Oh, man. And how many people own the inverse ETF? Well, there's $3 billion in it. But it is breaking out today. It is up 2.7% now, and that is our largest inverse position right now that we have working as a hedge against our large cap stocks. I've talked about inverse funds in the past. It's very difficult, you know, to hedge with futures and this and that. I just go straight up. I keep it simple. I've known about pro shares and inverse funds for the last 15 years, and I've used them on and off when I think it's appropriate. And as I saw this very, 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 very contentious election coming, I put some of these in place, and they're having a good day here so far anyways. All right, we talked about Microsoft, big member of the NASDAQ, big member of the Dow, not having a good day. How about Boeing? Boeing is a member of the Dow. I'll tell you what, it's not a good situation there at Boeing. They're going to have a lot more layoffs. Their EPS beat by 52 cents, but I think it's more about their outlook. And right now their outlook is very, very cloudy. Boeing is expected to lose $9.53 per share this year. Ouch. And their cash burn is increasing. Boeing is hoping to return to profitability next year and make $3.76 per share, but a lot depends on, you know, where airline travel goes from here. And it doesn't look good with what's going on in Europe and some states here in the U.S. I definitely would not be an owner of Boeing right now or anything related to the travel industry. Boeing down right now and, of course, influencing the Dow. It's down almost 3%. Okay, next big story today. GE, and I mentioned GE, former member of the Dow, disgraced former member of the Dow, disgraced former member. Maybe they're, are they still in the S&P 500? I'm not sure about that. But General Electric, which was once a $33 stock and is now a $7.63 stock, they actually had a pretty good earnings report. Okay, the stock was up. It's still up. There's one bucking the trend. General Electric, nothing I would have an interest in. The name of the show is Best Stocks Now. General Electric hasn't been a best stock now since Jack Welch left, which was how many years ago? But GE is getting a kick in the pants today. It's up 7.3%, and their cash flow turns positive. Another area that's taking it on the chin, on the chinny chin chin, Major League Baseball. Well, the Dodgers have reason to celebrate. They finally won after, what, 32 years? I think the Padres could have beat them if we would have had our pitchers. We get to the playoffs and our number one pitcher and our number two pitcher goes down. All right? So now you've got the bullpen starting games for you. But anyways, the Dodgers eliminated us, and then they went on to beat the Tampa Bay Rays, and they are the champions of the world. But what becomes of Major League Baseball? Major League Baseball lost $3.1 billion this year due to a shortened season, games without fans, and other disruptions related to the coronavirus pandemic. You know, can you imagine the payroll of the Dodgers, the Yankees? I mean, even the Padres have some pretty high-paid players. How do you pay those players and keep your payroll going, and you can't even sell a hot dog to offset the expenses? Who's going to advertise on Major League Baseball? The TV viewership is atrocious compared to what it used to be. I remember when the whole world used to stop to watch the World Series. I didn't see the world stop yet this past couple weeks to watch the World Series. It just seems like a lot of our institutions here in America are under fire right now. COVID changing the world. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. again, welcome back here to the second half of the Best Talks Now radio. Well, it hasn't gotten any better, if you're wondering. You've got the Dow down 719, and the NASDAQ right now, I'm waiting for that little bug to come around here, the NASDAQ's down 322 right now. You know, I would also say this. There's a lot of forces at work right now, okay? You've got a very volatile election coming up on Tuesday, and there are those around the world that would want one person to win, and there are those that would want another person to win. There's a lot of cross currents right now, and I think you have to take that into account. I predicted these cross currents, and that's why I have a position in the volatility index. That's why I have a position in the inverse S&P. That's why I have a position in the inverse NASDAQ, and even the inverse NASDAQ two times. We'll just take this a day at a time. We'll see where we go from here, but there's a lot of cross currents in the market right now, globally. Globally. Okay, I wonder, you know, another way to look at these, I just mentioned the inverse ETFs that have traded the most volume. Okay, that's on an actual basis, but let's not forget that a lot in the market is relative. I do a lot of work. My app has a lot of basis behind it, and it's based on relative strength, okay? Well, I also, I think volume is very much, I don't think it's as big a deal as most people think it is. But when it's relative volume, okay, so if a stock's trading usually $1 million a day and all of a sudden it trades $5 million, that's a good example, that's a huge pop in volume. I would just say that one inverse ETF stands out to me today, and it's going to make sense when I tell you what it is. It's trading 40 times normal volume today. That's my chart show, not only the actual volume, but what percent that is compared to its average volume. EPV. Oh, what does EPV do for a living? It's an ETF that seeks performance corresponding to twice the inverse return of the Europe index. Does that make sense? Where is the COVID really spiking? In France is the biggest hot spot right now. They're going to have hard lockdowns there. And so the Europe, if you're looking to hedge, EPV is two times the inverse of Europe. Okay, we talk a lot about the rights being on the right side of the street and the wrong side of the street. Dualism, I guess you can call it. I've said that being on the energy side of the Wall Street is not a good place with fossil fuels. Being on the renewable energy side of the street has been a very good place to be. I would also say that the restaurants that are flourishing right now, you know what the key is to the restaurants that are flourishing? No, it's not high alcohol prices. No, it's not entertainment. No, it's not the quality of their food. It's whether they have a drive-through or not. I've seen that in my own neighborhood here. We have a barbecue joint, pretty good one. Melvin's been here a long time. Melvin Bessinger, longtime family here in this neck of the woods. It's known for their barbecue. Melvin, I think all the brothers had it out with each other, and they all went their own ways, and there's Melvin's, and there's this one, and there's that one. But Melvin's is in our neighborhood, and they have a drive-thru. You ought to see the line of cars start to pack up about 3 in the afternoon until about 10 o'clock at night to get some of the best brisket and pulled pork and ribs and whatnot and all of the sides and all the trimmings. Having a drive-thru, it's a good place to be right now. Chick-fil-A would be another good example, but it is not publicly traded. Anyways, restaurant brands a company that owns Burger King, Popeyes, and Tim Hortons, is planning to modernize and speed up the drive-through experience at over 10,000 restaurants in North America by mid-2022. So if you're a construction guy, I've known several construction guys over the years that did restaurants and fast food and whatnot. There's going to be a lot of work available. Chipotle's going in the same direction. They want as many drive-thrus as they can possibly have. So I guess that's what's coming, you know, sitting down at a nice table and having good service and listening to music. Drive-thru and get it in a cardboard box. Doggone it. Has anybody been watching Bitcoin lately? Oh, man. Did it break out yesterday? Now, I own a little bit in my IRA, okay? I own the ETF GBTC. I'm not about to pay $40,000 for one Bitcoin. Grayscale Bitcoin ETF broke out yesterday. Keep that in mind. Now, this is a risk asset. It's down today with the rest of the market. It's down 6.6% today. But it's of note from a technical point of view that Bitcoin broke out to the upside. Will we have a digital currency someday? Will our paper currency go away? I certainly can see that happening as I look into my crystal ball looking at the future. Kroger to add COVID testing at pharmacy locations. This is another big change. You can drive through CVS, no, not to pick up prescription drugs and whatnot, but to get tested for COVID. And Kroger is adding COVID testing at their pharmacy location. Now, I don't know if I want to stand in line with a bunch of people that are standing there to get their COVID test. I don't know about that. You'll have to decide for yourself. But this is another trend. Meanwhile, CVS is expanding their COVID testing services they'll have 1,000 locations by the end of 2020 to get your COVID test. Fiat Chrysler, they reported earnings. Pretty good quarter. Where are they headquartered? The United Kingdom. Remember Lee Iacocca and Chrysler and the bailouts and all of that? Well, they got together with Fiat. You've got Jeep in that family. You've got Dodge Ram in that family. You've got Alfa Romeo. You've got Maserati. That's a cool little deal. Fiat Chrysler beats earnings. That stock's been on a roll, actually, but it's down 3.5% here today. This should come as no surprise. Six Flags. Pretty soon they're going to change their name to Four Flags, and then Two Flags, and then maybe One Flag, and then maybe one at half mast. They are really struggling. I remember Six Flags was one of those Peter Lynch stocks. He loved the stock. He says that's all they do is make money. Theme parks, right? Knott's Berry Farm and all of the Six Flags theme parks across America. They're going to lose $4.33 per share this year. They're expected to lose $1 per share next year. They miss earnings. That stock is down 7.7%. Wrong side of the street. UPS, on the other hand, is delivering all the packages to homebound folks. They came in with an earnings report. They were up, but now they're down. They beat by 39 cents. They beat on revenue. You would think UPS would be doing better than this. It's down 5.6% today. Generac, what do? They make generators. The power goes out. You're going to need a Generac. That has been a great stock. There's been a lot of prepping taking place, whether it's ammunition, whether it's dried milk, whether it's water barrels, whether it's generators, you name it. That stuff is flying off the shelf. Generac, big quarter. They beat by 37 cents, GNRC. And they beat on revenue. People are also fixing up their homes right now. because they're at home more. Site One Landscape, which was spun off from Deere, John Deere, run like a deer. Site has been one of the hottest stocks in the market. Landscape supplies, you know that stuff. You back up your truck and they'll fill your trunk full of gravel, heavy gravel that you can dump in your little driveway area there. Get some today at Site One Landscape, which has been anything but gravel. Well, when we come back, we'll look around under the rocks and find our stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Yeah, that's right. You can go with any money manager, any financial advisor across this blessed land of ours from sea to shining sea. How many people braced you and did a little bit of protective action in front of what was obviously going to be a very, very, very contentious election? Market Dow down 830 right now. It would not surprise me to see it down 1,000 points before the day is over. And, of course, there are those, I mean, those that don't want Trump to win would be cheering this big sell-off in the market. The last thing they want to see is a big rally going into Election Day. They would much rather see selling, 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 and bloodletting going into Election Day. That's just all of these forces that are at work right now. I'm not suggesting that they're out there sabotaging the markets. I am suggesting that there are numerous cross currents in the news wire, on Twitter, in the markets, you name it. We are in probably one of the wildest weeks that we're going to see in a long time, and who knows what the week after the election will be like. Nobody really knows. We'll see. We'll take it a day at a time here at Gunderson Capital, but happy to have a big position in SH inverse the S&P today. Happy to have a big position in PSQ. We're still down overall, but it certainly is better to have something, several things that are actually up today. And a QID and VXX, the VIX. I mean, that was just a no-brainer. You know that volatility is going to increase. So we put a position in our emerging growth portfolio in the VIX, VXX, which is the volatility index. Volatility is soaring today. Well, it's real easy for me to pick my featured stock of the day. We talk about this dualism in the market. One side of the streets, the dark side of the street, the dark side of the moon, and the bright side of the moon. I want to be on the sunny side of the street. And this work-from-home thing, a lot of people signing up to make their services available on a couple of services. There's really two big competitors in this industry, Upwork and Fiverr. Okay, you're not selling goods on Fiverr, like eBay or Amazon sells goods, Wayfair, etc. You're selling services. Do you need a website built? Do you have an idea for an app? Need to find somebody that can help you develop that app. All kinds of digital services available for varying prices online. And the one that I own is Fiverr. It's been one of the greatest stocks I've ever found. It may end up on my wall of fame someday, which is a pretty crowded wall. Fiverr is actually out of Israel. I did use their services on a little project that I had. You can go online and see all the different digital services that they offer. Listen to their last four quarters as it relates to sales. Sales up 43%, sales up 44%, sales up 82%, sales up 88%. That's what we call acceleration. Their sales growth has been accelerating. Well, they just reported earnings. They had sensational earnings. And speaking of earnings, they make money. Well, they went public last year. at about $25 a share. Where's the stock right now? $156 per share. I found it using my beststocksnowapp.com. I said, what is a Fiverr? It's an Israel-based company which enables people to buy and sell digital services similar to an e-commerce platform. And, of course, there's two sides to that. There's the people that have been laid off or are working from home as freelancers, and their services are for sale on Fiverr, F-V-R-R. And there's those on the other side that need digital services. And Fiverr brings the two together. Upwork is a very similar kind of stock, too. I have been watching Upwork. They haven't had nearly the sales growth and earnings growth that Fiverr has. But Upwork is also worth keeping an eye on, UPWK. I own Fiverr in my ultra growth portfolios and in my emerging growth portfolios. And we have made a lot of money in Fiverr. Fiverr is currently ranked number 104 out of 5,442 stocks in the proprietary Best Stocks Now database. So we'll make Fiverr our featured stock of the day. Well, I've been saying for quite some time there's a lot of various outcomes that can happen here over the next couple of weeks. There's those that would not be so bad at all, okay? If one side were to win quite convincingly and the other side were to concede, much like the election 4 years ago, no matter who wins and walk away and say, okay, here's the gavel, it's your turn to run the ship, here's the steering wheel, or I'll keep running the ship, that would be the most favorable outcome for the markets, okay? But if you get into a scenario where one side won't accept the outcome, that's very possible, or it's so close, which I think is a pretty, there's a good chance that it's just so close, it's so razor thin that it goes to the courts, okay? That's not a happy situation for the stock market. So anyways, we will take it a day at a time. I have a tight leash on everything that I own. I am on high alert. I've been on high alert. You can ask Paul and Barry. They're going, Bill, you seem like you're a little worried about what's coming. They've been saying that now for several weeks. I said, don't worry about it. Yes, I am worried. Yes, I'm going to be extremely vigilant going into this, and I don't think the volatility ends the day after the election unless there's a clear winner and the other one concedes. Other than that, every other scenario looks a little spooky, to be honest with you. So we've got we're on high alert right now, up on the watchtower. I'll be picking through everything I own, as I do every single day, and I'll be looking for opportunities, because there's two sides of the street, isn't there? It's your choice which side you want to be on. If you'd like to talk to us, oh, we're not day trading, but we're a little more active than just sitting there in an index fund. Give us a call, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter. See what we've done over the last several years. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.